listening to a sermon from Cordova Community Baptist Church in Cordova, Alaska. To learn more about our church family, visit our website at cordovabaptist.church.
I was scrolling, as you do, throughout the week, checking news and what's going on. There was a story that got reported on this week that happened last Sunday. I don't know if you happened to see it, about a hiker in Utah. Last Sunday, an experienced hiker, they didn't release his identity. He was hiking this small canyon on the second day of a 20-mile backpacking trip through Utah's Arches National Park. And I saw some drone footage and sights of it, of this little tiny canyon going through. And he was walking through it on the second day in the morning when he sank up to his thighs in honest-to-goodness quicksand. It actually happened. The thing that you think is going to happen as a kid all the time. And it happened to this guy, and he sunk up to his thighs and he couldn't get out. He wasn't able to release himself. So he had an emergency beacon, a little satellite beacon. He was able to contact a rescue crew who came out. They went and they saw, they were trying to hand this guy a shovel so he could dig himself out from this sand. But as fast as you take it out, it's just flowing back in as he goes. And so the county search and rescue team, they ended up positioning a ladder. They were able to put boards near him. They slowly worked one leg loose, and then he was able to kind of climb onto this ladder as they pulled him out of this situation. By then, he had been in near freezing muck and wet sand for hours. He was in, it was like in the 20s that whole morning. And so, but afterward, once he got the feeling back in his legs and the circulation going, he was able to carry his own backpack out of this canyon and to complete that walk that he was on, this hike, to be able to get out to it. Jasmine's running through the steps right now from that first response training she had, thinking of what she needs to get done for this guy right now. I can see the wheels turning. It's a pretty amazing story of a rescue and a situation that this guy got in, but it's also a pretty harrowing reminder that when you're in those wilderness places in this world, even the small hazards can become a pretty huge liability pretty quickly. The wilderness comes up a lot in Scripture. Those wild, barren, desolate places that are around us. We don't have to go far or look far in Cordova to see some pretty stark examples of them around us. But over and over again in Scripture, we see people in the wilderness experiencing those dangerous moments, their lowest moments, the most distressful moments of their lives. Hagar, as she takes her son, her infant son, Ishmael, out into the desert after being cast out by Abraham and Sarah. Jacob, who's on the run for his life after stealing Esau's blessing. The Hebrew people together, wandering for 40 years in the wilderness after doubting God's power to help them enter the promised land of Israel. Even Jesus being led out into the wilderness in the desert for 40 straight days with no food after his baptism. Or one of my favorite stories, the Spirit of God driving Philip out into the wilderness where he encounters that Ethiopian court official who's in the midst of a crisis of faith. The wilderness repeatedly in Scripture gives us this image, this lived lesson of the harshness and the fragility of life. But on this Sunday of joy in our season of Advent, we can also look and see that wilderness is something else in Scripture. It might be the place where people are at their lowest and the various circumstances and situations they find themselves in, but it is also a place that is forever alive with the possibility of divine encounter. When Hagar is cast out into the wilderness, it is God who speaks to her and directs her to water and gives her promises that she and her son will have a future. She calls that voice of God in the wilderness El Roi, the God who sees me. When Abraham heads out in faith into the wilderness with his son Isaac, in order to sacrifice him at the top of the mountain, this long-promised son of blessing. It is in the wilderness at the top of that mountain where God provides a ram for the sacrifice and stays his hand. Jehovah Jireh, Abraham calls God, the Lord who provides. After Moses exiled himself into the wilderness, after running from Egypt as a murderer, it was in the wilderness that God appeared to him as a burning bush that told him that his life was not forfeit and that God had a plan to use him to go back to Egypt to be a prophet to his people and to be God's ambassador to Pharaoh. The wilderness is where God meets us often in life. But there are many kinds of wilderness. Those barren places in our lives and in our hearts where nothing green seems to take root for long. Those seasons of fear and frailty, of darkness and despair. Those times when we feel out of control to make things right in our lives, to get over our struggles by our own power, where we begin to lose hope and then consign ourselves to suffering and to struggle and to a less happy and hopeful existence. Sometimes we walk through that wilderness for just a short season. Sometimes it lasts for decades. But in this season of Advent, this season of waiting on the promise and the arrival of God, we do well to remember that God arrives in the wilderness place to Mary and to Joseph, to the shepherds who were in their fields that night, and to all of Israel at that particular time and place. It was in that dark time, a time of oppression and fear for the people of God, a time of danger and anguish, that God's light and God's hope shined the brightest. I know we heard the scripture earlier, but I want to invite you again to hear the words of Isaiah, because by the Spirit of God giving him sight, he saw that promised day, that promised hope from God for his people and for us. Remember that as Isaiah spoke and wrote that prophecy down, as he spoke it to the people, he's speaking it to a people who are currently exiled from their homes. He is speaking that to people who were years and miles separated from the promised land of their inheritance from God, to a generation who had been born that had never tasted Israelite wine grown from grapes in their own vineyards, who did not know the taste of olive oil that had been made from trees grown in their promised soil. They had never had bread from the land of milk and honey that had been their divine gift from God. So listen to these words of hope in the midst of darkness to his people in their own wilderness. From Isaiah 35, he says, "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it." Think of those giant Lebanon cedars, like redwoods. "The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness, and it will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. God's words for us this morning. Thanks be to God. Do you feel the hope of those words from Isaiah? Like a gentle rain on a parched spirit, Isaiah saw God's plans and God's visions of a restored and a redeemed people. A people who will walk through the wilderness and there meet the power of God. So what does God tell us through Isaiah about the wilderness of our own lives right here? First, I think this is important, that God does not promise to lead us from the desert. He promises to lead us through the desert. That the desert is a part of life, and God says, yes, you will go through it, and I will meet you there. None of this language from Isaiah, from God, is about how the desert stinks and how God is just going to keep us from that and spare us from it. That pain and that grief and that doubt and that heartache are hard, but still God does not flinch from allowing his people to walk into and through that desert. The God who created you knows that you are not so fragile as that. The God who created you knows that there is strength within you through him to withstand that desert long enough to see it bloom by his word. And so his promise is that every dry and barren place will flow with water and with life in his kingdom. God chose this image and this future and this reality for his children, that the highway of holiness should be directed right through the formerly arid and dry spaces of our lives. That his holiness isn't about being forever perfect and protected from harm, but being forever restored and redeemed by his hand from our harm and our pain. Isaiah saw that same truth. It's no mistake that the language in this prophecy goes from the thirsty ground becoming a bubbling spring to the eyes of the blind being opened. He's drawing this connection, saying, you're in the desert and you might feel like you are the desert. Like this is just how you are, but there is hope and promise of a better future. That the lame will leap like a deer, that the mute tongue will shout for joy, that those that find themselves in the wilderness and the brokenness, God says that we are to strengthen our hands and steady our knees because we know that we do not walk alone or without hope. We know that God's presence is with us, that God's power is before us and behind us, and when we walk on his path, we cannot fail even when we falter. That even when we lose sight of him, he will come with power and might to bring deliverance and safety and new hope. He has come. We remember that in the midst of our brokenness and our sin, during this season of Advent, as we look to Christ's first coming, we remember that God sent his Son to us to be born in all the frailty and all the humility of a human little baby. So that we might know God's love and power made manifest in him. That we might be reborn because he was born. God leads us through this present wilderness and he promises to bless us here. This week I read part of the scripture differently for the first time. I've always, as I've read through verses 8 and 9, where you see that the unclean will not be on this highway, that the wicked fools will not walk there, that the lions and the ravenous beasts will not be found there. I've always read that as this word of God's protection for his people, right? That there's not going to be any lions on the road, that you don't have to worry about any wicked fools on the path. And it made me think about this, and that might be the case with the lions, but I wondered, God didn't spare his son from the fools and the threats and the danger. God knowingly sent his son to earth, knowing there were going to be a lot of wilderness moments, knowing that his final moments before his death would be in the midst of that wilderness, but still he sent him and still he loved him. God didn't spare his son from the danger. Maybe this highway is one that we have to look to find in the midst of our wilderness. Maybe the fools aren't there because they choose not to be there, because they, in the midst of their wilderness moments, don't look for God in order to find him already at work around them. Maybe God allows us to drift from luxury and comfort and from the protection and the complacency of every little white lie that we've told to ourselves and to others to keep us content. When all of that has been stripped away in the wilderness, maybe it's so that we can look and listen for the whisper of God in that place that says, "Be strong and do not fear, for your God will come." I fear there's too many souls in this world that are wandering through their own wilderness with no hope and with no eyes to see. They've not looked for the face of God in their distress, and seeking not, they have found not. And in their struggle, they feel their fears have been realized, that they are here by accident and that they are here all alone. It is up to us, the people who walk through that wilderness with hope, to call them home as well, to speak the hope and joy of God's restoration and his ability to bring an oasis out of even the driest place in our lives and in this world, to proclaim the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ. And then, this is important, to go and live as if it was true. This last month, through my own grief in my dad's passing, I have found something interesting, that I feel like I am at my strongest when I am attending to others in their grief. When I can be strong for someone else, right? Now, I have to make sure that that strength isn't just the facade, that isn't just the lie and the avoidance of that pain as I'm dealing with it. But I think there is something there, that our pain becomes more carryable when we let it inform our compassion for others. When we let it become the lens through which we look for God around us and within us in our lives. When we find God in our wilderness, and then we try to guide others to that same home and rest in him that we have found and that we are finding. And sometimes it just means that we walk hand in hand with someone else and say, "Let's go search together, because we know God is in this somewhere. And somehow, so let's go find him together as one." But always we are strengthened when we remember that we are never in the deserts and in the wilderness of this world alone. But a highway has a purpose, right? I don't think, and I'm telling you right now, you should not think either, that God's highway to holiness is a dead end or just a roundabout that never gets anywhere. The goal is not just to say, "I've become comfortable in the desert." The goal is that through the desert, we end up somewhere. And by the end of Isaiah 35, we're told where it ends. Verse 10 tells us where that exit ramp finally leads. He says that those the Lord has rescued will return. And we ask, "Well, return where?" And then he tells us, "They will enter Zion with singing and with everlasting joy that will crown their heads." The way of holiness runs through the desert, but always leads home to the kingdom of God. And while we walk on a hardened and rough road now, we walk with joy because it leads, we know, to those gold-paved streets of heaven and the river of life that runs through it. Isaiah says that all of our sorrow and our sighing will flee away. I love that phrase. As we enter into that holy home. Now, for Isaiah, he might have thought that promise just extended to the people of Israel that were in the midst of exile. that they were far from home and that God's word to him was saying, you will come home again. Your children will know the home that you had to leave. But we know that God's promises and his prophecies are multi-layered, that they repeat and they rhyme and they call us to remember the rhythms of God's salvation. Peter calls the church to remember that we too are exiles in this world, citizens of God's kingdom, alive and living under the foreign rule of the kingdoms of men in this age. For each one of us, the same promise of hope and restoration applies to us as well. Isaiah reminds us that God's promise is that we will be brought home to God's restful shores and to the bubbling pools of God's grace. We will be brought to the holy city, even though it is through the hardship of our lives. For each one of us, this Christmas season and through all our life, we are called to not lose our hope and our joy. That our joy is not based on current circumstances or situations, but on the assurance of a future blessing that is unfolding around us when we have the eyes to see it. So may we open our eyes and see the desert bloom before us today by the power and the promise of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Will you pray with me? Father, some of us walk through dry places right now. Places of fear, places of transition, places of doubt about your provision in the future, where we wonder how we can go forward in the midst of what we've gone through. That how there can be better days ahead when we feel like we have lost so much, but still your word promises that we have not yet imagined the glories of your grace that lay before us. God, help us not to despair without hope, that we may grieve for what is gone, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. That you call us, God, to have joy, the decision to rejoice in the midst of everything in this world, every wilderness that we walk through, every fear that we hold on to in our spirit, just like the psalmist, God, that we would refuse to let our fears have the final word, but that we would say, but still I trust in your goodness. Still I choose to rejoice in your promise and in your kingdom. God, this season is a reminder to us that you have entered this world through Christ, and that just as you did 2,000 years ago, you will come again to rescue, to ransom, and to redeem, to restore us, God, in perfect relationship with you when we have accepted the gift of Jesus. When we have accepted the gift of the cross, your willingness to send your son to die so that we might live. Help us, God, to hold on to the hope of that future, to proclaim it to all who need to hear it, to those that are lost in the wilderness in our lives and in our world, that we would proclaim with one voice together that you are good, that your plan is loving and kind, and that always in the wilderness we find you at work, providing a way and making a home for us. God, lead us to your holy kingdom in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our workplace, in every place, God. Help us to trust, to believe, and to cling to your goodness today. We pray this in the power of your Holy Spirit made manifest among us. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. We glorify you, Lord. Amen.